and welcome everyone as we prepare for Shabbos Parshas Bamidbar, beginning a new one of the Chamisha Chumshei Torah. Everyone in the Chamisha Chumshei Torah has a name by which it's known. Sefer Bamidbar is known as the Sefer HaPikudim, the Sefer of the Countings, or in English very often, Numbers. It seems like a very uninspiring number, a very uninspiring name rather, Numbers. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, at least these names have some mystique to them and have some meaning to them. Numbers? What is the meaning of numbers? Or in Lashon Kodesh, Sefer HaPikudim, the Book of the Countings. Doesn't sound significant. Teres Kayanim, significant. Mishnah Torah, significant. Sefer HaPikudim, it just happens to be where the Jews were counted, and certainly that idea needs some kind of explanation. David Sim, in his introduction to Sefer Bamidbar, and this is a theme which he mentions consistently, where Klal Yisrael is counted, both here in Parshas Pinchas, he makes the following significant point. In this week's Parsha, we have the counting of Klal Yisrael and Parshas Bamidbar. The counting of the Levim continues into the next Parsha. This counting took place in the month of Iyar, in the beginning of the second year, when Klal Yisrael was in the Midbar, still before the sin of the Meraklim. In Parshas Pinchas, we have another counting. That counting takes place later, much later. It takes place to a Klal Yisrael that's ready to enter Eretz Yisrael. As a matter of fact, after the Jews are counted in Parshas Pinchas, it says, divide the land among these. The numbers, of course, are different. There are over 603,000 Jews in this week's Parsha, and only a little over 601,000 later in Parshas Pinchas, because of the Megefa, which had taken so many Jewish lives. So then it says, the counting of the Yidden is not just a matter of numbers. The counting of Yidden is a designation. These are the Jews that have this or that tafkid. The kai, the count, is related. It's a tafkid, the purpose. The Kodesh HaLevim was a counting of Jews to each Shevet, and each one given its own purpose, its own job, as a member of the Degolim we have in this week's Parsha. Right after the Jews are counted, they're assigned their place in the Diglei Midbar. As a matter of fact, the Shvatim are counted in the order of the Degolim. It says in the Tziv, it was a transformation in Sefer Bamidbar. Just as Sefer Bereishis is a transformation from humanity being created to the Jewish people starting to form, just as Shemais is a transformation from family coming down to Mitzrayim to a people going out into the Midbar, so too by Midbar is a book of transformation. The Pikudim, the counting in the beginning, was the counting of a people that traveled in a miraculous way, that lived in a miraculous way, the Dar HaMidbar. The Pikudim at the end is the generation which followed, the generation not of Yotzei Mitzrayim, but of those who enter Eretz Yisrael, those who live under a more natural order. And therefore, for example, in this week's Parsha, Shevet Ephraim comes before Shevet Menashe. That's not the natural order, but as far as the spiritual level, Ephraim precedes Menashe. Later, when Klal Yisrael is counted in Parshas Pinchas, it's the counting of a people that are going to live a more natural life going into Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, in Parshas Pinchas, Menashe precedes Ephraim, the natural order. Similarly, after the counting of Parshas Pinchas, we find two battles which take place, that with the Canaanim, which actually is taught in Parshas Chukas, and that in Parshas Matos of the Malacha with the Mulchama with the Midyanim. Those battles take place in a more natural way. So Eila HaPikudim, this is the Sefer of the counting. The counting of what? The counting, the transformation. A counting in the beginning of the book, of the Yotzei Mitzrayim, of those who lived in a more miraculous manner, and the counting at the end of the book, those who lived in a more natural manner. And that, of course, gives great significance to Sefer HaPikudim. We find also in the beginning of the Parsha, Ve'itchem Yihu, Ish Ish Lamate, Ish Roish Lebeis Avoisavu. We find the appointing of the 12 Nesiim, of course, a great honor that the 12 Nesi'im are appointed. It sounds like here God chose them specifically. As a matter of fact, there's a difficulty. The difficulty is that these Nesi'im were Nesi'im already for a very long time. In the end of Parshas Nasai, we have the 12 Nesi'im bringing the 12 donations to the Mishkan. It's the same people. And the story at the end of Parshas Nasai took place a month before the story of the beginning of Parshas Iyar. So that these 12 Nesi'im were already Nesi'im at least a month earlier than this week's Parsha. As a matter of fact, if you turn back to Parshas Vayakel, Perchos Hei, Pasik, Chav Zayin, and the Nesi'im Eviu as Avnei Hashayah. When the Mishkan was first built, many months earlier, 6 months earlier, when donations were accepted, 6 months before Parash Nisan, 7 months before Iyar, Rashi tells us that those Nesi'im are the same 12 people as the end of Parashas Nasai, the beginning of Parashas Bamidbar. So these were long-standing officials of Klal Yisrael. They're very strange that the beginning of this Parasha should make a declaration regarding the Nesi'im, who are apparently already well-positioned in their positions as the leaders of their individual Shavatim. This is a question, a puzzle, which I asked a number of years ago, and today I'd like to share with you an answer which is both in the Nitziv and in the Darash Maisha. They both say the following. Klal Yisrael chose its leaders. The Nesi'im of Parshas Vayakel, the Nesi'im of Parshas Nasai, were chosen by popular choice, by the people. Here, in the beginning of Bamidbar, a tremendous honor is given to them, and that is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and appoints leaders of the Shvatim. Just imagine. These were leaders who were not appointed by God or by a prophet. No Navi appointed them. The people accepted them as leaders. And now Moshe Rabbeinu says, oh, God is going to appoint a leader to each Shevet. They must have been nervous. They must have been wondering, are we rightful leaders or not? Because Baruch comes in this week's parish and appoints each Nasi exactly the same one the Jewish people had chosen. It says in the Tziv Bomer Lameid, it comes to teach us, that Klal Yisrael has an ability, a natural ability, to choose its leaders, to choose its manhigei hadar. Look, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you made 12 choices, all 12 are accurate. This reminds me of a New York Times article back in the 1970s, in which they interviewed Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe Feinstein, whose picture appeared then on the cover of the second section of the New York Times, was asked, what does it mean to be the Gadol Hadar? How you choose? Do the bishops get together and appoint you as a leader? Who appoints a Gadol Hadar? Rav Moshe, in his humility, replied, no one appoints you. Someone calls you with a question, you answer. And if it sounds right, it sounds wise, then the word gets around. Others call you. Others are in touch with you. And slowly, over time, there's an appointment by popular method. That is what the Nitziv is saying here. That this comes to teach us that Klal Yisrael has that uncanny ability to choose leaders. But Moshe, the Darash Moshe, adds a second point. He adds, Kedarkei B'Kodesh, as was his style, a halachic point. Besides the fact that people need leaders, and those leaders to be appointed by popular acclaim, there's a din nasi. There's a halacha of a nasi. A nasi has the din of an apotropos. When it came time to divide the land, the nasi had the halachic power, the ability to make choices, to have certain members of his shevet give up rights to certain parts of the land and instead take other parts of the land. It's a halacha. And here the Nesi'im were appointed to that role of Nasi, to the so-called Din Nasi. And that appointment was from HaKadosh Baruch. And so, we have an explanation of this appointment here, indeed. It is not less of a significant appointment. The question was, this parasha makes it sound so significant, but they were Nesi'im already for a long time. The answer is, on the contrary. The fact that they were Nesi'im for a long time made the suspense all the much greater. And the fact that the same 12 were chosen, all the more inspiring that these 12 were chosen. I'd like to end with a vart that's somewhat of a different style. As you all know, they are trop. There are notations for the tune with which the parsha parsha is read. And those trump take three forms. They are three sets. They are what are called the malachim, the king trump, Besnachta, the Seif Pasuk, well known. They both denote a pause. The rest of the trump are divided between what are called Mishamshin and Mafsikin. The Mafsik is a trump which has a pause, a small pause, a brief pause. A Mishamesh is a trump which is Mishamesh, which serves the trump which follows. It's read together with the one that follows. So, for example, Mapach Pashta. Mapach is Mishamesh, followed by Pashta, the Mafsik, or Manach Zarga, or Kadmova Azla, so on and so forth. The trump are divided between the Mishamshim and the Mafsikim, those that are pauses. There's one trump which is unique, and that is the Tevir. The Tevir is primarily a Mafsik. Darga, Tevir go together, typically. Darga is Mishamesh, the Tevir, and typically they work together. However, the Tevir is unique in that it is also a Mishamesh, and there's no place where this is more obvious than in the counting of the Jews in this week's parasha in Perek Beis. I'll explain. We have the counting the number of Shevet Reuven, for example, Shisha V'arboim Eles the Chamesh Me'ah, 46,500. If you look at the trap, it says Shisha V'arboim Dargot Tevir. Arboim is a mafsik. One could read it Shisha V'arboim 46 Eles the Chamesh Me'ah, and another 1,500. For a total of 1,546. That's not correct. It's Shisha V'arboim Eles. Here, the Arboim goes together with the Eles, which follows. And so, too, Tisha V'chamishim, Dargot Tevir, is 59. Eles U'shloish Me'ais, and another 1,300. No, that's not what it means. It's Tisha V'chamishim Eles, 59,000 U'shloish Me'ais. Which means that in addition to being a mafsik, the Tevir is also a Mishamesh. It's read with that which follows. Now, that just seems to be the idea, a piece of knowledge in Trump, but it's very significant. As we know, the Gra always darshaned, always said that the names of the Trump have some meaning to them. The Tevir means to be broken, to be cut away. The Tevir is a yerida, is a falling. Whenever the Torah says someone is Chayiv Karis, the Taurus is always with the trump of Tevir. Tevir being broken. There's a lesson in the fact that the Tevir is not only a mafsik, but also a mishamish. When a person is broken, when something happens to a person which is a yerida, whether it's an aveira, or in life, he just struggles, it seems like a mafsik, it seems like the end. Something has happened that has knocked the person down. It's what you make of it. A Tevir could be a Mishamesh as well. It could be the building block of what comes next. Last night I was at a simcha, and a fellow approached me, someone that I don't really know, and he pulled out his smartphone and showed me a photograph of a page in Tzidkas HaTzadik. He thanked me for having taught this Tzidkas HaTzadik, and he was had a photograph of what I believe was Ois Ayin Dalit or so, where the Tzidkas HaTzadik writes that a nefila of a person could be his greatest opportunity for success. When a person has a yerida, says Rav Tzadik, yeda, he should know that that is the possibility, that is the opportunity, that is the beginning of the greatest success he could ever have. And on the contrary, where a person falls, that's a sign from heaven. It's an opportunity to build. That's the lesson of the Tevir. Tevir is the broken one. Now, God Tevir, someone who falls down a pile of steps, so to speak, he's broken. It's a mafsik, it's true. When someone falls, he stops and has to take an accounting. But it could be a mishamish. It could help a person build, move on, move further. Dar God Tevir, what a lesson. Let me end with a question of the parasha. At the beginning of Paragimel, it says, Eilatal, tell dais Aaron Umayshah. It refers to the descendants of Aaron and Moshe, but it only counts the descendants of Aaron, not of Moshe. Says Rashi, "Ene maskir ela b'nei Aaron." Why? To teach us, "Kol ha'malamid es nechaveri Torah kilu yoldei." Moshe Rabbeinu taught Torah to the children of Aaron. He's like their father. Eilu told us Jewish explanation. Moshe Rabbeinu taught Torah to all 603,000 Jews in the Mizrach. What was special about Bnei Aaron? All 603,550 Jews learned from Moshe Rabbeinu, as the Gemara teaches. The Gemara says that he was a Seder in order in which he taught all of them. Moshe was Rabbeinu, he was everyone's Rabbi. Kilu Yoldei? Referring to the children of Aaron? How unusual. Certainly needs an explanation, but at least for today, my time is up for this year. Wishing everyone the most absolutely spectacular.